Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and Massachusetts' newest tax proposal might save residents a little money next year when filling the dreaded tax return out. So dreaded, I can't say it. But does everyone benefit? And as Governor Healey weighs whether to sign it by Sunday night, will she decide that it makes us competitive? Well, we are going to ask Evan Horowitz, Executive Director of the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts University. He's right here in Studio 2. Welcome back, Evan.
Oh, it's great to be here, TCN.
All right, so I want to start on the people front. People in the state, the biggest winners are...
Well, can I back up? Because said new tax package, and even that kind of sounds funny. This thing has been floating around for 3 years. It took a long time to get from, hey, we should have a package of tax cuts, to here's the package of tax cuts that we're going to pass. And I think it's worth, starting there. Like, this was proposed, or some version of this, an early version of this, was proposed by our former governor.
I was going to say, previous administration.
Yeah, we're talking hundreds of days ago, 500, 600 days ago. It was then dropped. It was picked up by the new governor. We thought it was going to get done this year, earlier the year. It didn't. It's been floating around. We didn't know but here it is. It's happening. But it also has the strangest kind of timeline, because a lot of the provisions were built for like the post-COVID crisis moment. We're not really in that moment anymore. And yet the afterlife of those decisions lives in this bill.
What do you mean by that?
So when it was originally put together, the state was saying, well, we have a ton of money. Remember, there was this moment a few years ago. We had so much money, we didn't know what to do with it. And one thing you could do with it in such a situation is give it back to people. And that was really the impetus. It was like, we have all this money, let's give it back to people. What's the best way to give it back to people? And so that was the sort of the framework of the discussion. People are hurting, especially, everybody at the time, but renters. But then what happened was, there was something else swooped in and said, actually, I have to give the money back in this way. We have to give it back in this other way. You have no control over it. So that happened. It sort of took all the money out of the picture.
A 1980s law surprised everybody. Whether it should or not is a different question, but it led to a giant give back of money.
Right.
Okay.
So here we are a year after that, at more, and we still have these provisions that were built to give money back.
But also a new ballot measure in the form of a millionaire's tax, which put new money back into the coffers.
True. But we didn't end the year with a big surplus this year. It's not the state wasn't saying, oh, we have all this money, how do we give it back? The state is now thinking more like, well, what could we do? What kind of targeted tax relief should we pursue? But instead of starting that conversation from scratch, it picked up this old conversation. So I think in some ways that kind of haunts this bill. And we talk about that, as we go on. I think the bill is too big in a number of ways because it is haunted by this. But, your question is like, who benefits? What's in it? I mean, I think the real heart of it is a new tax credit for children, right?
So for people with kids.
Well, I mean, it depends how you think about it. Obviously, the kids aren't going to get it themselves. But the idea is not to help the parents. The idea is really to help the kids by giving money to their parents. Now, there's no obligation that they spend it on kids, but there's a lot of research that really helps with child poverty and really does benefit kids. And that really is the heart of it. And
okay, so let's be really clear for listeners who are like, I have children. What does this mean for
me? It means you get money.
Right. More money and for more kids.
Yeah, so some tax breaks don't work like this. Maybe there's a tax break for people who own giant microphones. I'm just staring at one, so I thought I would say that. But most tax breaks, you only get it if you owe taxes. So I owe a lot of taxes, then maybe I can claim this break for the giant microphones. The child tax credit is not like that. Even if you don't owe taxes, right? You have an exemption, you don't earn a lot of money, you still get this money back. So it's much more like checks for people with children and other kinds of dependents than a traditional tax break. So everybody gets it, yes, more if you have more kids. And the idea really is it's both to support kids and to support families. And we were chatting beforehand about how universal this program is. One way to think about its universality is we were all kids, right? And any program that supports kids has this universal structure because it's for everyone, because everyone starts out as a kid and needs support as a kid.
All right. And the change here used to be it's currently $240 for a child. It will go up to $310 and there will be no cap on the number of children.
And then up higher to $440, I believe.
All right. That's right. And then go to $440 in 2024.
Yeah. And there was a push to get it to $600. It's not going to get that high, but that was what people were kind of pushing for. But, as part of the sort of sausage making and the compromise dealing, we didn't get to $600. We ended up at $440. But that's still really the kind of meat of the proposal when it comes to helping families.
Okay.
The other side, the business side is different. But when it comes to kind of personal taxes, that's the meat of it.
Okay. So the other big on the personal side, let's just hit quickly, if you're a renter or a senior with a certain income, you also win here.
Much smaller. The renters get to deduct a little bit of extra money. This one doesn't have the same structure. You do have to owe taxes, so it's much less generous. The senior one, we could talk about this at length because I have some concerns about it, but the idea basically is some people own very expensive houses, but they don't have a lot of income. And so when their property tax bill comes due, they have a hard time paying it,
mm-hmm.
right? So the state says to some of these people, you know what? We're going to give you a big tax credit to cover the cost of that property tax. Now, the problem with this, I think, is that these people aren't really poor. By definition, they have very valuable houses. So there are better solutions than the one they've picked up. But yes, they did pick that up. They doubled it.
Okay.
Which is expensive and very valuable to people who are house rich. So it's a giveaway to people who have very expensive houses, which is sort of the problem from a progressive standpoint. The other one is the estate tax. The state had a...
Explain that one a little bit.
So basically, for people who die with an estate worth over, used to be $1 million, you would pay taxes on that estate, additional taxes. And it was $1 million becomes sort of more and more common for people to die with an estate of that size over
Medium
time.
Median home price in Massachusetts, in Greater Boston is $900,000.
Right. So it's not hard to hit the threshold. The other thing was weirdly structured where if you owed if you had an estate worth $1,001,000, you didn't just pay taxes on the $1, you paid on the whole thing. So it was badly structured. So they fixed that. They changed the threshold to $2 million and they changed this kind of weird cliff thing. The problem there is that it was expensive to do. It's expensive to say.
What do you mean by that?
It costs the state money. The state will forego collecting a couple of $100 million every year by changing the tax.
There were those who wanted it to go to $3 million, so this was a compromise.
There were those who wanted it to go to $5 million, $10 million.
Okay.
I mean,
all right,
yeah.
All right.
Anti-tax people want it to disappear.
And is there something for everyone in this bill quickly, Evan, or is this mostly for lower income people or mostly for families?
I mean, there's a lot for a lot of different groups.
Okay.
That was the structure of the compromise, really. It was. So House wanted some things, Senate wanted some things, Governor wanted some things, and a lot of the compromise was like, all right, we'll do everything. We'll do little bits of everything. So families get stuff, lower income folks get stuff, renters, businesses get stuff. There's a big change to the way corporations are going to pay their corporate taxes. This, for me, was one of the more unexpected parts, but it does sort of change the competitiveness landscape of the state, and so businesses get something. Wealthy people get something in the form of the estate tax and the capital gains cuts. So it really is widely distributed in terms of the costs and benefits.
So short-term capital gains cuts from 12 to 8.5% if you buy and sell stock within the same year, just so listeners know what you're talking about. And that
brings us... not just stock, houses, any kind of capital appreciation that you have, but it's like house flippers, day traders. This, for me, was like the least defensible part of this whole thing.
Okay, so for listeners now, the last big question in our remaining time was, will Maura Healey think, because she's got to sign it by Sunday night, right, that this makes us more competitive?
I think so. I mean, I would be shocked if she did anything other than sign and celebrate. It is close enough to what she proposed that I think she wants to take it as a win and will take it as a win. Does that mean it's a giant win for the state? No.
Yeah, I mean, does Evan Horowitz think it makes us more competitive?
Slightly. Like, I want to get the stakes right, and it's hard to get the stakes right, especially when you're dealing with a legislature that hasn't been particularly productive. So what are we comparing it to in terms of what else they've done? This is a meaningful bill. It will help families. It will improve the business competitiveness landscape, mostly through the single sales tax. So it does these things, but not in a transformative way, not in a, generationally defining way. And it's nothing like that. It's a good bill. But it's the kind of good bill that you would expect a functioning legislature to pass 4 or 5 times a year.
Like, which is why you started by saying, wait a minute, don't really call this new. It took 3 years.
Years to get there, and they haven't been doing enough around it. So, I mean, it's hard to, exactly figure out how to balance this. There's a lot to like about this bill. I have concerns about the size of it. I think, this compromise approach where they're like, well, we'll do a little bit of everything, ended up, larding the bill with a lot of additional costs. So it's ultimately will cost the state about $1 billion a year. That's a lot of money. And it essentially wipes out 2/3 or 3/4 of the money raised from the millionaire's tax. So we spent years pushing for this new tax on people who earn over $1 million. And that was going to generate something between $1 billion and $1.5 billion per year for the state. And then we turn around and we give away $1 billion in tax breaks. That's 2/3 or 3/4 of that money.
Briefly, right, do you think the legislature did that on purpose?
No. But I do think that they had in their head a sense of like, well, we have this new fiscal room. We have this room for tax cuts. So it's, defensible. But no, I don't think they said, deliberately, well, we have this new money. Let's turn it into tax cuts. But effectively, that's what's happened.
All right. So you know how much time we have left.
I see it.
I'm going to ask you, are you saying our legislature is making us less competitive?
Definitely not. In fact, I think the bill does make us more competitive. What I think is that the legislature could be doing a lot more to advance initiatives that would make us vastly more competitive and focus on issues that matter most. That is probably the T and housing structures. That's really where the heart of competitiveness lies and what they need to be focusing on and passing big bills about.
Evan Horowitz, Executive Director of the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts, thank you.
Thank you, Tiziana.